Science divides the natural world into six kingdoms, including the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom. And in both we find huge diversity of form and size and colour, and so many fascinating and complex societies. Most people are more familiar with inhabitants of the plant kingdom, for they are all around us, just about all the time. I have spent a lifetime loving plants, even though I have never studied them as a scientist. And over the years, people have given me marvellous books, collections of photographs of various habitats, and of exotic fruits and seeds and flowers that might have been drawn from the imagination of artists high on psychedelic drugs. I have walked through forests in many parts of the world and marveled at ancient trees festooned with vines, ferns spreading their graceful fronds beside fast-flowing streams, and rocks clothed in mosses. I have a special love for old-growth forests with their wealth of interconnected life forms. I always feel that I belong there. But there is so much more to marvel at in the kingdom of the plants. I often use the zoom setting of my camera to photograph the exquisite flowering of tiny plants that most people walk past or trample on, not noticing. The first time I visited the tundra in Greenland, I was humbled to see small plants that had sprung into life after enduring 8 months under snow and ice, and amazed to learn that they were actually trees. But although they had managed to survive in those bleak conditions, they could never attain the typical height of their species. How different that Arctic habitat is from the exotic riot of colour, the sheer enchantment of an alpine meadow in spring, with its myriad of flowers, the humming and buzzing and droning as a host of insects feast on nectar, pollinating the flowers so that they will reappear next year. When I first saw the spring flowers blanketing the California hillsides, I wanted to walk out among the lupines and poppies and wild mustard and simply lie among them, looking up into the blue, blue sky. But I was restrained, warned of snakes among the flowers, and had to be content just to feast my eyes on their colours and inhale their sweet fragrance. The plants of the arid parts of the world, the dry plains and the desert, are also fascinating. These are the places where succulents and cacti have adapted to survive long periods without water, storing it in their leaves and stems and roots. Just this past spring, I spent a couple of hours wandering in the semi-desert of Santa Fe, New Mexico, utterly captivated by the strange shapes of the cacti. I was lucky, for most of them were in bloom, their yellow and red and deep purple flowers, like gifts from Mother Nature in the dry landscape. And I have marveled to see how, after a long period of drought, the first rains will carpet the Serengeti Plain of East Africa with white and golden flowers shining through the dry, trampled grass. Here and there, the vivid coral-coloured flowers of the aloe plants peek through. Recently, as I drove from Johannesburg to Nelspruit in South Africa, I desperately wished there was time to stop off and find an elephant root tree, Elephantoresa elephantina, which, presumably able to withstand the cold, dry winters of its harsh upland habitat, lives almost entirely under the ground. If you walk among the branches of what seem like small bushes, rising only some 3 feet above the ground, you will actually be walking on the canopy of a very large and very ancient tree that is mostly out of sight beneath you. It would be absurd in a book like this to try to describe the fantastic variety of plants, from the tiny mosses to the mighty redwoods. A recent inventory lists 298,000 different plant species and 611,000 species of mushrooms, molds, and other fungi. And the authors reckon that as many as 86% of all plant and animal species on land and up to 91% in the seas remain unnamed. All I can do here is to share some